If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share from the Word of God with you today, scripture found in Mark chapter 16, the first seven verses. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There will you see him. There you will see him just as he told you. The title of my message this morning is Resurrection of Hope. Resurrection of Hope. I believe we could all use a little bit of hope right now, don't you? We live in times that are in many ways unprecedented. A novel virus that is not completely understood is spreading very rapidly in unsuspecting ways and is overwhelming the ability of health systems to combat it, and for which there is not yet a vaccine. There's a devastating economic downturn as a result that has dramatically affected economies around the world and millions of individuals and families, disruptions to our way of life that none of us have seen in our lifetimes. And then there's the fear and the uncertainty of not knowing when or even if our lives will ever completely return to normal. I don't have to tell you all that. You know that. But while many of the particulars of this current crisis are unprecedented, the emotions it has caused are not. The history of the world is filled with crises that have caused even the most optimistic individuals to lose hope. That was certainly the case in Jesus' day after his death on the cross. His disciples had placed all their hopes in him as the promised Jewish Messiah. They had heard his profound and inspiring teaching and served as witnesses to the miracles he performed. They just knew that he would be their political savior, the one to finally free the Jewish nation from the bondage of the Roman Empire. And then, based on trumped up charges, Jesus was crucified alongside two common thieves. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And that, it seemed, was that. He was dead. The dream was over. Hope was gone. That was on Friday. But then Sunday came. And two women who were on the way to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body wondered along the way who would roll away the massive stone from the entrance to the tomb. But they received the shock of their lives, and the world would never be the same. They found the stone already rolled away and a gleaming angel sitting there in the tomb. His first words to them were, "Don't be alarmed." And the angel's message would change everything. It would change despair into hope. I declare to you today that the message of that angel not only brought hope to those women and the disciples with whom they shared the news and all of the followers of Jesus of that day, but it has brought hope to millions of people in the time since, and it has the power to bring hope to us during the crisis of our day and in any time of crisis in the future. You may ask, how can a few words uttered to two women 2,000 years ago be at all relevant to us today? And the answer is that those words proclaim timeless truth that turns despair, no matter its source, into hope. Praise God. Praise God. I have a message of hope for you today. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's hope for you and for me. And so in the next few minutes, I want to delve into this passage and answer the question, how does the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring us hope? How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring us hope? The first way it brings us hope is that it affirms that we serve a living Savior. The angel said, "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He has risen." He states it as a fact. He has risen. You know, some try to explain away the resurrection of Christ by saying that the women possibly went to the wrong tomb, or some say that Jesus hadn't really died, or that the disciples stole his body to perpetuate the fiction that Jesus was alive. That's the story that the Roman soldiers came up with to protect themselves. But the angel declared that they were at the right tomb, that Jesus had really died, and that he had risen from the dead. You know, there are many proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself predicted it in John 2:19. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Old Testament prophesied it. Psalm 16, verses 9 and 10, prophesy the resurrection of the Messiah. The empty tomb and the grave clothes. The Gospels record that, particularly in John chapter 20, verses 3 through 9. 1 Corinthians 15, 6 tells us that over 500 people saw the resurrected Christ. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the book of Acts tells us, was the central message of the early church. Jesus was alive. There's no doubting the reality of that fact. I heard a story that Chicago police identified a severely injured and unconscious man that they found to be Alonzo Bennett. All they had for identification was an old mugshot, but Bennett's family assented to the identification. Soon after, the hospitalized man died without regaining consciousness. The family planned a barbecue as a memorial before the funeral. Just as they were digging into the food, who walks in to the event? Alonzo Bennett himself. He had been out of town. The dead man wasn't him. While not a true resurrection, can you just imagine the excitement when Alonzo came walking in? I think of the joy and the excitement when the one they thought was dead was now discovered to be alive. The disciples knew that Jesus was dead. They saw him crucified. They saw him taken down from the cross and put in a borrowed tomb. Then in the midst of their sorrow, here comes Jesus. No wonder this one event made such a difference. Church, we can have hope in any situation because we serve a living Savior. He loves us. He hears us when we pray. He is with us, and he is willing and able to do anything and everything on our behalf. He lives, hallelujah. And the resurrection of Christ gives us hope because it affirms that we serve a living Savior. Praise the Lord. Secondly, the resurrection of Christ brings hope because it declares that death has been conquered. Listen to what the angel said. Speaking of Christ, he said, "He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And he also said, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Some try to argue against Christ's resurrection being a physical resurrection by saying it was just a spiritual one, that his spirit came alive, but not his body. But the angel told the women that he was not present in that geographical location, the tomb, but that they would see him in another geographical location, Galilee. That is a quality of an entity that is not just spiritual, but a physical being, a localized presence in one location. As we often say, you can't be in two places at once. And Jesus, while in a localized body, was in one place at one time. His resurrection was a physical resurrection. He had raised others from the dead during his ministry, and now he conquered death through his resurrection. This has an important implication for followers of Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians 51 through 56. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah! Because he lives, we shall live also. Jesus Christ conquered death once and for all. Can you say praise the Lord this morning? I heard a story about a British clinical scientist named Alan Sinclair, who doesn't want his death to be permanent. After he dies, the plan is for his blood to be flushed from his body and replaced with antifreeze. Can you imagine that? Technicians will then cool the body with dry ice and fly it to a cryonic center in Michigan. The center will keep it at minus 320 degrees, and supposedly when a solution is found for whatever kills him, future technicians will thaw him out. And then supposedly the cured Alan will exist once more on the earth. His wife, Sylvia, has already died and undergone the cryonics solution. Listen to what Sinclair said about his hope that his plan will work. He said this, "Of course, the whole thing is a leap of faith. I have a contract that I will be frozen, but nothing to confirm they will unfreeze me. I just have to trust that when the technology is there, they'll do it." In contrast, church, the Christian hope is that God will resurrect us from the dead just as our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. In the newly resurrected state, we won't need a cure. We won't need any infusion of new blood because the main cause of death, sin, will have already been taken care of. We will live forever because our Lord lives forever. Unless we're alive when Jesus returns, all of us will experience physical death in this life. That's true. But because Jesus has conquered death through his own resurrection, death is not the end for us. His children, because he was resurrected from the dead, we will be resurrected from the dead. Because he lives forever, we will live forever. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep," that is those who have died, "or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. But we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Christ's resurrection brings us hope this morning because he has conquered death forever. Because he lives, we shall live forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thirdly, the resurrection of Christ brings us hope today because it assures us that we can be personally restored. The angel said to the women, "Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he will meet you in Galilee." Now, Peter was one of the disciples, but the angel said, "Go, tell his disciples and Peter." I think that's very significant for us today. As you know, Peter had failed Jesus miserably. Though he loudly and repeatedly proclaimed his eternal devotion to Jesus, when it came time to stand up for his Lord, Peter blew it. There's no gentle way to say it. He blew it. Jesus had correctly prophesied that Peter would deny even knowing him three times, and Peter did exactly that. Can you imagine the feelings of remorse and self-loathing that Peter must have experienced? It's clear that Peter, being singled out in the angel's joyful message to the disciples, was the Lord's way of restoring Peter into right relationship with himself. After the resurrected Jesus had appeared to Peter and the rest of the disciples and ascended into heaven, Peter was used mightily by God in the formation of the early church and the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles. The book of Acts tells us that. We are blessed also to have the two powerful epistles that bear Peter's name in the New Testament. And I think it's significant what Peter wrote in one of those epistles. Let's listen to what he said in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, probably with his own restoration in mind. Listen to this. He said, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Tradition has it that when facing crucifixion for the cause of Christ, Peter declared that he was unworthy to die the same death as his Lord and was crucified upside down. You talk about a restoration. Peter is a shining example of the restorative powers of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I heard a story about a Florida woman that lost her high school ring not once, but two times. But every time she lost it, it somehow came back to her. Shannon Forrester lost her ring the first time after a car accident in 1979. Her father found it a few months later in a pawn shop and bought it and gave it back to her. The second time Forrester lost her ring, it turned up in a house 30 miles away. Somehow, a woman found the ring while cleaning her deceased father's home. She said her father had found the ring and put it in a drawer because he didn't know who it belonged to. She posted a picture on social media, and a friend told Forrester about it. Forrester said she was sure the ring was gone for good, but she added that "I don't go on Facebook," she said, "but somehow in a very circuitous route, the ring has made its way back to me." Talk about something improbable, being lost twice and being restored to its owner. This morning, because of Christ's resurrection, we can be restored as many times as we need to be. I want you to hear me this morning. Maybe you've blown it like Peter. Maybe you've failed miserably. Maybe you've had good intentions to serve Christ and to be consistent and be faithful, but maybe you failed. Not once, not twice maybe, but several times. Listen to this. The one who conquered death forever has the power to forgive you for your sin, no matter how awful it is, to redeem your failures, no matter how egregious they may be, and to give you hope, no matter how hopeless your situation may seem. Jesus, the risen Christ, is in the business of putting broken lives back together. If you are in a place where you feel so broken and so hopeless and in such despair that nothing can be done for you, I have good news for you today. The resurrected Christ is waiting to restore you. Turn to Him. Ask Him to come into your life and fix what's broken. He'll do it for you today. I guarantee it. He overcame death and He can restore your life. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Christ gives us hope because it assures us that we can be personally restored. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fourthly, this morning, I am delighted to share with you that the resurrection of Christ brings us hope because it proves that we can trust the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the angel said. Having said that Christ would go ahead of the disciples into Galilee, he says this: there you will see him just as he told you. The veracity of everything Jesus ever said or did while he walked on this earth hinged upon his resurrection from the dead. He claimed to be the divine Son of God. He claimed to be one with the Father, and he claimed that he would rise from the dead. As noted author C.S. Lewis has said, you can't claim that Jesus was a good moral teacher, but not the Son of God. He was either a liar, Lewis says, a lunatic on the level of someone who claims to be a poached egg, or the Son of God. There's no middle ground. There's no other choice. Jesus did not leave us any other choice. Lewis has it exactly right. Jesus' resurrection proved that he was who he said he was, and we can trust him completely. In his book, The God Who Knows Your Name, Max Lucado writes, on a trip to the United Kingdom, our family visited a castle. In the center of a garden sat a maze, row after row of shoulder-high hedges leading to one dead end after another. Successfully navigate the labyrinth and discover the door to a tall tower in the center of the garden. Were you to look at our family pictures of the trip, Lucado says, you'd see four of our five family members standing on top of the tower. Someone is still on the ground. Guess who? He says, I was stuck in the foliage. I just couldn't figure out which way to go. But then I heard a voice from above. It was my daughter Sarah peering through the turret at the top. You're going the wrong way, she explained. Back up and turn right. Do you think I trusted her? Didn't have to. I could trust my own instincts, consult other confused tourists, sit and pout and wonder why God would let this happen to me. But do you know what I did? I listened. Her vantage point was better than mine. She was above the maze. She could see what I couldn't. Don't you think we should do the same with God? The Apostle Paul writes about Jesus in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus overcame death. Jesus is over all things. He is, if you will, in a tower overlooking the maze of our life. You and I can trust Him. You may have been betrayed in life by those who have been closest to you. You may have been lied to so many times that you find it hard to believe anyone anymore. But I'm here to tell you today, you can trust Jesus with your life, with your family, with your career, with your relationships, with your health, with your emotions, and with your entire future. Not only does He see and know all things, He wants to lead you out of the maze you find yourself in. You can trust His holy word, and you can trust the voice of His Holy Spirit to calm your troubled soul or to bring clarity to your confused mind. Trust Him. He will never let you down. The resurrection of Christ brings us hope because it proves that we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Christ brings hope today. The late Emil Brunner once said, "What oxygen is for the lungs, such is hope for the meaning of human life." What that means for us is that as the human organism is dependent on a supply of oxygen, so humanity is dependent on its supply of hope. I mentioned the restoration of Peter earlier. Listen to what Peter wrote about the hope that comes from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hallelujah. How does the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring us hope? First of all, it affirms that we serve a living Savior. He is alive, and he is alive forevermore. The resurrection of Christ brings us hope because it declares that death has been conquered. Because he lives, we shall live also. The resurrection of Christ brings us hope because it assures us that we can be personally restored no matter what has taken place in our lives. And the resurrection of Christ brings us hope because it proves that we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ with every facet of our lives. Hallelujah. Hear this morning, church. Because he lives, there is hope. I'm going to say that again. Because the Lord Jesus Christ lives, there is hope.